Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast. Normally, for those who know, I'm normally on Sunday nights. And unfortunately, this past Sunday, they wanted to have a maintenance on the website, so I couldn't get on to the podcast, the audio version of the podcast. But this is a different episode than the others. This is more like a just conversation or just sharing some things that was on my heart. And I had a great, great guest, actually last Sunday and Sunday before last, young lady by the name of Miss Mary Harper. Great. And she was preparing for the show for this weekend, the event. And so, long story short, as I began to think and then also looking at some shows that's coming up ahead, I began to think about this may be a time for me to just come on and just talk, even share my testimony. Normally on my episodes, I don't really like talk about me unless it's something where maybe people can relate to for them to know what God can do, and I might even share my testimony. But this particular episode, I felt the need to just have a conversation where I'm just talking to y'all just in case someone who may have felt or may feel the same way that I had felt. And so I entitled it, "The Day I Stopped Falling in Love." The day I stopped falling in love, and when it came to me, I was like, wow, I remember. Now, what I am going to do before I go into where I am today, I'm going to be transparent I'm going to be real. Yes, I look at this platform as a church, the Christian content, which is necessary, but also transparency is necessary. In order for a person to get healed or receive healing, they have to first acknowledge where they're at. And then also acknowledging where they're at, but like I say, be transparent. Give it all. We talk about giving it all to God. Well, how about you everything out? And so with that, I just want to share with y'all a couple of things that was on my heart. And like I said, I wanted to entitle this episode, The Day I Stopped Falling in Love. First, I want to talk about where I was in my life. And those that have known me, they can attest to this. And this, like I said, this is just me being real, being transparent. And I hope whatever I may share may even help you to examine yourself. And also for us to just tell people, hey, look here, we all need help. We all did need help, will need help, or do need help right now. And so one of the things also I'm going to share, this is not to put anybody down. Those that know me, I don't mind throwing myself under the bus. So I don't mind sharing about me, but I won't disclose anyone's names or anything like that. But the first thing, speaking about where I was, those that know me throughout my life, I've always been the one that I've always respected young ladies. And even as I was a kid, I have those that know me. I come from a big family, and in my immediate family, four boys and one girl, me being the third child. And then right under me is my sister Sheila. And so growing up, I always was told about opening the door for a young lady, showing chivalry. And so with that, not only did I do that for a young lady that I might have been in front of going to the grocery store or the mall or whatever, holding the door, but I always did that even for my sister. And my sister is a very big and important person in my episode because, like I said, we were always so close. And for me to respect young ladies, that meant I need to respect my sister. And so the mindset I've always had as a kid was I always want to make sure that my sister was treated right. So in order for my sister to be treated right, I need to make sure that I treat her right. And so with that, and like I said, from the time that I was young up until, you know, the last time I was with my sister, open the door, you know, scoot her up, showing chivalry. And so with that, showing chivalry towards young ladies, and like I said, I want my sister to be treated the way I want other people sister to be treated by me. So that meant that I'm setting the standard of how I want my sister to be treated by how I treat other young ladies. And so that was my mindset. And then also the other part, and this kind of going fast forward from me being a kid up until me being a teenager, 20s, 30s, and all that. The other thing was I've always believed in being honest, being respectful, loving. So what I would do, I felt like, and like I said, this is how I was. You know, some of my family members used to say, man, I think you lived on the rock. But I've always believed in being an honest guy, being the good guy. And so what I would do, I made sure to always be honest, and I would assume if I'm honest, then they're going to be honest. They have no reason to lie to me because I'm not lying to them. That's the way I thought. And so with that, when I felt like there was a vibe, I was like, wow, because once again, I'm honest with them. And I felt like because I'm honest with them, they will mirror the same sentiments as what I'm giving them. So that was my idea. And then my mindset was, please don't get mad at me, but my mindset was, well, uh-oh. Okay. Make sure that, Dirty Rascal. Okay. Make sure I didn't lose connection. Oh, boy. I lost connection. That Dirty Devil. Hold on a second. Making sure that I get my connection back. Okay. One, two, three. Boy, 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 that Dirty Devil. Let me see if I can make sure I'm still connected. Y'all give me 1 second. I want to make sure I'm connected. Okay, it stopped. Okay. Okay, let me double check. I want to make sure I'm being heard.
Okay.
All right, good. I don't know what happened, but we're going to continue. We're going to continue. I actually accidentally hit something. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go forward anyway. All right. So, long story short. The devil is a lie. So what I would do, I would actually be the type that, like I said, if I'm honest with them and I know that they're going to be honest with me, hey, if I'm dating somebody or if I meet somebody in the daytime and I'm honest with them and I feel like they're going to be honest with me, I'm like, shucks. The next day, I'm like, well, what's the use to prolonging it? Let's get married. That was my philosophy. That was my mindset. Because I believe in people being honest, especially within the church. Like I said, some people may feel like, well, crazy, or you naive. Well, yes, I was. Yes, I was. To some people, it might have been crazy, but for those that understood, number one, even just being real, being honest, I didn't know people would lie. I'm being honest. I didn't know people be conniving. People would use you. I didn't know that. Especially if I'm doing the right thing and if I'm, like I said, grew up in church, have siblings and doing the right thing, I thought, hey, that old saying, you reap what you sow? Yeah, I thought, well, because of me reaping honesty, me reaping chivalry, I thought those that were in my company would reciprocate the same thing to me. That was my mindset. So as I began to get older and, like I said, date or even try to pursue a relationship, there's been some that after everything was over with, like if I wanted to pursue a young lady, hey, I'll just go on out. If it's flowers, candies, whatever she wanted, that's what I did. If I had hair and she wanted me to cut my hair, hey, I would cut my hair because that's what she wanted. That's what I thought. But then all of a sudden, as I begin to become the person that they want me to be, then they would break up with me to get someone of who I used to be. You get that? And so I was like, why? What's wrong? And like I said, during this period, Sheila and I would talk a lot about that and share some things. And it didn't make any sense to me because, like I said, to some people, I lived in a bubble. Or, be honest with you, I see now, I would look at people how God would look at them. I looked in the best of the person, not the worst. I would end up being the one that being hurt or being used or being misunderstood. And so it didn't make any sense to me, especially when I would hear them say, well, I'm looking for a good man. Well, here I am. But you're saying you're looking for a good man in the very beginning, but you treat me like a bad man. I didn't understand that. But I was the one that would get hurt, and especially when I would see a young lady who'd been hurt before, and I knew I would not do her like how she was done. And so I wasn't concerned about anything negative except for being there for her, being there for her heart. But as I'm being there for her heart, I find out that she's abandoning mine. And oftentimes, she would end up going back to the guy who did her wrong. And I didn't understand that. Like I said, especially those that were saying, well, I'm praying for a good man, all this, all that. And in the beginning, it was started off where I was getting the attention. But later on, I realized the relationship we had was actually the relationship that I wanted, but it wasn't the relationship that she wanted. It was the relationship that I created that she was receiving the benefits from. And so with that, like I said, this is not to paint a bad picture on those in the past, because what I realized, there was a common denominator pertaining to my failed relationships. Even though I wasn't in a whole lot of relationships, but I found out when I look at each one of them, the common denominator was not them. The common denominator was my choice, or my coworker, Ms. Ridley, would say my people meter. My people meter, the way I pick people, was off. It needed to be calibrated. My people meter needed some adjustment. I was choosing, matter of fact, I was choosing those who did not qualify for my heart. But also I found that I was not only picking those that were not qualified for my heart, there were some that did not even apply for my heart. See, I found out everybody that applies not qualified. It just like you can have a job and people put in, and there are some people, when you look at their resume, they don't make the cut. And so when you look at the same aspect pertaining to matters of the heart, there are some people, they don't qualify. There are some people that no matter how hard you try to, quote unquote, base or give their grade upon a curb, some of them don't qualify. And you have to be okay with acknowledging that. And so with that, I'm like, man, something ain't right about that. Something ain't right. So what I had to do, I had to learn to be okay with acknowledging that the problem was not them. The problem was me. And what I found out that I was pursuing love at all costs. I was pursuing love. I was pursuing love, but then I found out I was falling in love. And if you notice, every time you fall, sometime there may be an injury. And that's when God began to deal with me to tell me I need to quit falling in love. And that particular day, this was, I believe, in my 30s, somewhere around 30s or 40s or whatever. God told me to stop falling in love and start walking in love. And that day, that's when I stopped falling in love. Because I found out every time I fall in love, there was some damage or some injury that transpired. there was some residue that they left, or I allowed them to leave on me or on my heart. So that's when I had a real conversation with God. And what he did was, this is what he told me. The first thing, and I'm gonna share some things, even from some past episode I had, I'm tied in sin. The first thing what he told me to do, he told me to go in the mirror and tell that person that's in my mirror the things I would tell the young lady. I'm like, okay, what is that? He said, go in the mirror and say, I love you. That sounds simple, because I was used to telling a young lady I love you and mean it. I wasn't trying to get into her panties either. And also, I'm going to say this also. We adults, and this is before I got delivered and everything. And like I said, this was back in the day. But I was never the one that tried to get into a young lady panties to use them or abuse them. I wanted love. And so oftentimes when I found myself in a particular relationship, appreciated, I felt like if I make love, I can create love. I felt like if I can give her my sex, it will validate to her that I'm genuine and she would not mistreat me. Yeah, being honest, yeah, I've been into some toxic relationships. And not me being the abuser, but me being the abused. And so what I realized, even when I would try to make love, I was still feeling empty. I was still feeling a void. And there were times, being honest with you, there were times where after I got done, when I left, I would go in the car, I would cry, because I did not feel fulfilled. Yes, sexually, yes. But emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually, I felt like crap. I felt like crap. And sometimes it had been like they just wanted. They wanted me to just shut up. Stop telling them how bad that I'm being treated and just deal with it. Either I'm going to shut up and deal with it, or they're going to move on to somebody else that's going to appreciate them. So what I would do, shut my mouth and take it. Yeah. And so with that, I found out when God told me to look in the mirror and say, I love you. Yeah, I'm used to saying that to a young lady and mean it. So I felt like it wouldn't be hard for me to tell that dude that's in my mirror, I love you. So I felt like, okay, no big deal. I can do this. Well, I looked in the mirror, and I couldn't say it. And me, I don't believe in saying anything I don't mean. So if I knew I was going to say it, I was going to mean it. But when I looked in the mirror, I couldn't say it. Because when I looked in the mirror, I did not love the dude I was looking at. I remember as a grown man, I looked in the mirror, and all I could do was just shed a tear. But I couldn't say it. And so finally, probably after 40 minutes or so, God gave me the strength to say it. And then after I said it, it felt so nasty, because it was something I was not used to hearing for me. I was used to hearing, well, I like you if you do this. But for me to say to that dude that's in my mirror, I love you, and mean it, and hear from someone that has no hidden agenda, I didn't know how to receive that. And so when I finally said it, God told me to look in the mirror and say it every day until I believed it. Because what he was also trying to tell me was, stop looking at myself or how I see myself or how people perceive me or treated me, but start looking at myself through the lens of him. Look at who I see myself through his lens, through his eyes. And the more I began to say it, the more I believed it. The more I began to say it, the more I received it. And the more I began to say it, the better I felt. Because now I realized it was spiritually and emotionally medicating me and transforming me, because I was verbalizing what God said about me instead of what I was thinking about me. I learned that I had to start saying what God said instead of thinking what I was thinking based upon the actions or the words of somebody else. So when I began to start doing that, it felt better. It felt great for me to be able to look at that dude that's in my mirror and say, man, I love you, man. Hey, man, you're a bad man, and mean it. And so as I began to realize that, God began to tell me also he wanted me to go off. He told me to take off. Matter of fact, my vacation was coming up, and I took off for a week to fast and pray, lay before him, and consecrate myself to him. Cut myself off. Don't tell anybody I was on vacation. Some of my family members didn't even know. And at the time, I didn't have a son. But I cut myself off and just lay before the Lord. And also lay before him in fasting, praying, and reading scriptures. And also what I always tell people, whenever you talk to God and also whenever you read scriptures, say it out loud. Saying it out loud, so that way what you say out of your mouth can get into your spirit man through your physical ears. Your physical ears are important for you to be able to have what you hear. I'll say it like this. Your physical components, your physical senses will open up the gates for your spiritual senses and your will for you to have what God said about you resonate in your spirit and digest into your spirit. I don't care how hungry you are and you want to feed your stomach, you have to use your mouth to feed your stomach. Same thing pertaining to your spiritual man. Your spiritual man, your food and need for it to be digested within your spiritual being. But you have to use your physical being to feed the spiritual being. So that really opened up my eyes. So what I did was, along with doing that, taking off that week to fast and pray and being before him, and also I have to say this, the key thing that God told me was when he was having me to do that, he told me, I'm going to teach you how to be a healed man. I'm going to teach you how to be a healed man. Because it's one thing to be in a man. It's another thing being a healed man as well as a man of God. Now, I know to some people, you know, it may be unusual for a guy to be speaking this way. And generally, a lot of time we hear from a young lady. But I have to say this out there because, number one, there may be some young ladies who may not be introduced to this kind of teaching. And they can copy and paste and use that same method for them to be healed as a young lady. But then on the other hand, there are some men who may not have been exposed to a healed man, and for us as men to be transparent to say, hey man, look here, I might have had this kind of upbringing, or I might have this happen, that happen, but who can I talk to and be transparent as a man for me to be healed as a man? So you can look at it both ways, because oftentimes us as men, let's be honest, us as men, we'll acknowledge our mistakes, but we won't acknowledge our hurts. And that's why God would tell us oftentimes that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So I want to share this with y'all to tell y'all some of the steps that I did. And like I said, for me to be transparent, like I said, those that know me, I don't mind being transparent. If anybody want to know some dirt about me, you ain't got to look on Facebook or YouTube or what's it, TikTok or X. Go to my page and ask. I'll tell you. I'll tell you. So long story short, with that, in the fast and prayer, God began to start revealing himself to me and also let me know where I was at and let me know some areas in my life I needed to work on. Some of the things he showed me, he made me realize that I was some folks' emotional side guy. What did that mean? See, I allow myself, because of my low self-esteem and what I would allow some to do towards me, I would try to be with them at any cost. Even if I had to shut up and let her treat me wrong. But if I can have her attention, maybe me loving her enough would change her. That was my attitude. That was my mindset. I don't want to cause any waves. See, I just believe as long as I'm doing the right thing and I can pray for her, maybe God will change her. Does that sound familiar? Oh, you think like that too. Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like I said, some of the stuff I'm sharing with y'all, even with our posts throughout the years, I'm telling from experience. But what I realized and I had to accept, I don't care how you fast and pray for somebody, if they don't want to change, look here, they ain't going to change and God ain't going to make them change. God will never make them go against their will. God is a gentleman. God not going to force himself. So if God not going to force himself, why do we force ourselves on people? So what I have to learn, and acknowledge where I was at. Yeah, I was some young lady's spiritual or emotional side guy. Meaning, yeah, I would be their friend and they would see some elements in me that they may either like or may want to entertain. And when I say entertain, that doesn't mean, you know, anything sexual or whatever like that. I may be on the phone with them. They may be enjoying my company. They may be enjoying my conversation. It might make them feel good for them to have a guy that's going to listen to them. That's going to, you know, give them some healthy esteem. And so what I found out, I would think that there was an invitation for a relationship. But come to find out, they were just using that to build themselves up for the guy that was tearing them down. And I realized that the one I was pursuing was already pursued by somebody that was not healthy for them. And so what I realized that they were in a relationship, and now I'm like, I'm hurt because I thought that this one was the one, or I thought that we had something going on and we were building up for a relationship. But I found out they were in a relationship that wasn't healthy, but they had somebody that was how they wanted their man to be. And so instead of them breaking up with them and receiving me, they would stay with the one that was doing them wrong and have me as their garbage disposal or their listening ear to build them up to be torn down. And it began to be a cycle. I realized I was allowing myself to be that emotional punching bag or even that spiritual punching bag. So I realized, man, I'm allowing myself to be used. It wasn't their fault, but it was my fault. And so for me to be able to realize that, I also had to realize what God was telling me. I had to be a better steward or a better manager of my heart. I had to be a better steward or a better manager of my heart. And like I said earlier, everybody that applies, not qualified. And so what I found out when I was allowing myself to just, you know, just be open, I was allowing myself. And to be honest with you, I can't blame them But what I had to learn was I had to start doing better and not allowing myself to receive or to give out to everybody that was only qualified or, excuse me, that was only supposed to be given to qualified people. Let me ask you this. You have a car right now. Would you give a copy of your key to your car or a key to your house to everybody that know you or that you know? No. Because everybody that may know you are not qualified to have a copy of the keys to your car or the keys to your house. Well, if you have that same mindset pertaining to the keys to your house or to the keys to your car, what about the keys to your heart? If you think about it, we give copies of the keys to our car, to our house, to everybody that asks. But we'll tell the people they may ask for a copy of your house, the key to your house, we will tell them no. We will easily tell them no pertaining to a house or a car, but not to our heart or to our sex. I want you really to think about that. If you think about it, if your house burned down right now, hey, you got insurance? Insurance gets you another one. Your car? Insurance covered. But when it pertains to your heart, we leaving our heart uninsured. We leaving our heart uninsured. We leaving our heart uninsured and we're voiding the warranty of our heart. We are mismanaging our heart. And God is trying to teach us how to be a better steward or manager of our heart. And so, like I said, being responsible, being more responsible for our heart. But also, one of the things I had to realize was even when it comes down to the period of having our heart to be healed, or even if you have received type of injury causing you falling in love, we can't punish everybody for one person's actions. I want you to think about this. If somebody breaks into your house right now, if they break into your house, you will make sure to make it where it's harder for the person outside of your house to get into your house. You may put some burglar bars, you may put some security or whatever, surveillance cameras. You're going to make it more difficult or almost impossible for somebody outside of your house to get into your house after that one act of somebody trying to break in your home. But if you notice, you will make it harder for somebody that's outside of your home, but would you punish the person or the people within your home for the actions of someone that was outside of your home? So in other words, yes, you're going to make sure that you have the burglar bars and the security, all that stuff. But for those who are already in your home, you're going to make sure that they have access not only to come back into the home safely, but you're going to make sure that they feel protected. And so when we dealt with a broken heart, broken relationship, disappointment or whatever, we can't punish those that are close to us for the actions of those that are not close to us. I had to learn that. And when I stopped falling in love, it made me see my responsibility. It made me more accountable of not just my actions, but the responsibility of me receiving or rejecting who God did not assign for me. It made me more responsible and more conscious to be very careful and discern, but most importantly, pray and wait for God's response. I always think about God, we're praying, we're talking to God, and you wait at the fax machine for God's response. Wait for God's response. Make sure you're not distracted for the response. You giving it to God. You giving God your requests, questions, but are you properly waiting for his response? And even if he has not responded yet, what are you doing in the meantime? Are you ignoring? Are you ignoring or going on as if he's going to give you a thumbs up when in actuality he's telling you, you know, or vice versa? So making sure that we're very careful and not only not punishing those that are close to us, but making sure that we take accountability of our responsibility of protecting our heart and putting responsible people and healthy people that may even be our accountability partner. I'm going to talk about that later on also. But first, with a healthy accountability partner, you can have, like, matter of fact, years ago, my daddy asked me after he found out that there was a relationship that had ended. He said, do you want me to take your keys? Do you want me to take your phone and make sure you don't call them? I'm like, no, that's okay. You want me to make sure that they don't call you? I said, no, that's okay. Thank you. But I saw in his own way, I saw that he was trying to make sure that I had responsible people that would be my mouthpiece in case I felt too weak or vulnerable to speak up for myself. I was like, wow. Thank you. And matter of fact, next time I see my dad, I'm going to have to tell him that story and thank him for that. And so for us to be real careful and understand that this right here is, this would help us not only to be a better steward and protect our heart, but also being honest with you, protect our mind. I'm going to be real. Matter of fact, I'm trying to set this timer. Okay, I'm trying to set it. But I'm going to tell you something. Those that know me, like I say, I grew up in church. It ain't nothing more hard. I know that's a bad terminology, but I'm going to say it. It's nothing harder than to go to church and try to praise God, worship God, enjoy a service with a broken heart. Oh, my gosh. Look here. Those, like I said, I grew up in church. And that doesn't mean, I'm going to tell you something. The devil wants you to stay at home and wallow in your sorrow. The devil wants you, what I always call, stay in the house, don't brush your teeth, don't comb your hair, don't take a shower, and keep your grave clothes on for you to emotionally and spiritually die. But in the midst of going, it's like you're fighting against the flesh. Because your flesh man, your mind wants you to stay home, but your spirit man said you need to go out. You need to make it to the church. You need to prove the devil to be a lie. I'll share something with y'all. I was in this relationship one time, and I was going to surprise her and take her out on a picnic. And one thing led to another. She wasn't answering, and my keyboard player, Reverend Cassius Haynes, he told me he wanted me to play with him at this particular church. So eventually I decided to go ahead and go. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I had a miserable time. Not that the service wasn't great, the service was great, but emotionally I was not feeling it. And then all of a sudden I began to start seeing things in the spirit. I saw the young lady I was dating at the time, I saw her in the hands of a particular person, and I'll just say, I wasn't familiar with this person, but I began to start seeing images and description of the person, the height, complexion, the hair. I saw everything. And I didn't know that they knew each other, but I began to start seeing some things. And I saw her in bed with that particular guy. And I was at church, and as I'm playing, I was just shedding tears. And I'm like, my spirit don't feel right. So long story short, got out of church, made a home, and I called her, and she answered the phone. I said, I've been calling you. What do you mean? Oh, I've been at home. I said, oh. And I asked, like I said, we adults. I said, and this is my girlfriend at the time. I said, when was the last time you were intimate with a guy? She said, you don't ask no woman that. I'm like, well, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. And she said, well, what time you get up? So she told me she was going to call me in the morning. And I told her what time I'd be getting up. And that morning she called me at 11:01 a.m. That was on April the 1st, Monday morning, 11:01 a.m. And she called me and she confessed to me. And everything that I saw and everything that I told her, that's what happened. As mad as I wanted to be with her, she said something to me that really opened my eyes. She said, you deserve a young lady that's in church. And that sounds like a cliche, you know, I found somebody better. No, but she began to start describing, remember when you had blah, 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 and I had asked you blah, 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 blah. And you said, no, you going to church first. God going to be first. She said, that's kind of the young lady that you need. I'm not that. She said that. And as mad as I was, I had to respect her because she saw something in me at the time I didn't see myself. So during the time of repairing and allowing myself to be healed and what God was getting to show, he began to start showing me little holes in my heart and in my life that I may have had. So it was saying something to me. And so with that, the other thing I wanted to share with you, when God began to start showing me those things, he also told me about, like I said, not falling to love, but walking to love. Because if you notice, where you walk, you can see. When you walk, you go on the strength that God gave you, but also you can physically see and you don't have to lose your balance. And when you're fighting on your feet, it's easier for your enemies to fall. And so the other thing what he showed me was stop pursuing love and start pursuing purpose. Stop pursuing love and start pursuing purpose. See, love is just a small category in the purpose. But when you pursue purpose, and your first purpose is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning God's way of being right, doing the right thing the right way, and you get the right results. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall chase you down. That's what it originally means. And so when you pursuing God and you pursuing purpose, your purpose in God, as long as you're doing what God tells you to do and you're pursuing God, you're putting God first, everything else going to follow your address. You don't have to look for it. You're in the rhythm that God told you to be in, and those things going to look for you. But as long as you look for something that God telling you that he's trying to have them to look for you, you're going to miss it. It's just like, have you ever called somebody that's always changing their telephone number? And every time you see them, you say, hey, man, I've been calling you. What number you got? Oh, that's my old number. You just gave it to me 3 months ago. But they always changing their number. Why are you always changing your number? Why are you always changing your address? You need to take Matthew 6:33 as a principle of your life for you to be able to have changes done in your life. And so what I found out, when you stop pursuing love and start pursuing purpose, then there will be a need for you to have love. We're talking about a healthy relationship. Think about this. Think about the two things I thought about was when Adam was what? Working. The Bible said God gave Adam work. The word work in its original language is Hebrew. It means energy or source from God. The other thing was he was naming the animals. God gave him dominion. And when he was naming the animals, he realized that everybody had a parent but him. There was a need for him to have a helpmate. Why? Because he was working in his purpose. There was a need for Adam to have a helpmate. So my question is, you saying you're looking for a helpmate or you want a helpmate, but is there a need for you to have one? The only way that you can have a need for you to have a spouse or have a helpmate if you're walking in rhythm of the purpose that God has for you. The Bible tells us it is not good for man to be alone. But like I said, you look at what Adam was doing. Adam was working. Adam was dominion. Adam was naming the animals, all that stuff. And so based upon that, God said it is not good for that man to be alone. But unfortunately, some of the young ladies choosing the guys who ain't working, ain't got no work ethic, ain't got no proper attitude or etiquette. And you know what? It is good for that man to be alone. Why? Because he ain't in his purpose. And it's not your responsibility to make him in his purpose. So this is something that he has to choose. But also another thing that hit my spirit, it's in Luke 19 and 31 when they talk about what Jesus says, I have need for you. I have need for you. When you walking in the purpose that God has for you, there will be a need for you to be linked up with someone that's going to go in a harmony with the purpose and plan God has for you. The one that God has for you, look, it will not be combative. It will not be a competitive thing. It's just like when you see a two-headed animal and they trying to go the opposite way, that's a freak. Pretty soon, they both going to die. Why? Because one trying to eat, the other trying to drink. And eventually, when they keep fighting each other, they're both going to die of starvation and dehydration. Because while they fighting against each other, they both missing their needs. And so with that, it's very important for us to acknowledge where we at. And so with that, when I came, I wanted to bring this up, and I'm going to get ready to wrap it up. But even when it came to having an accountability partner, my accountability partner, I always say this, and matter of fact, met a young man this week, Terrence, man, thank you for coming on, and I love you, man. There was a person that was my accountability partner and will always be my accountability partner, and that person is my son. He's 18 years old. He'll be graduating this month. Well, he's my accountability partner, and the reason why I say that is because now I'm very careful, and if I'm going to pursue someone, I got to look at not just based upon me, but are they a good fit for my son to see his daddy being treated right? Or will she allow me to be that protector, be that covering for her? No, and like I said, each person is different. So you have to make sure that you identify who you are and what you can contribute into that person's life. Me, I'm a fix-it man, and also I have to say this. Even when I talked earlier about being that emotional side guy or even spiritual side guy, I have to realize I had to stop giving to people that was not qualified. And the reason why I said that was I had to learn that there are some, yeah, they say they want a good man, but in actuality, they just want a listening ear. They don't want a boyfriend. They don't want a husband. They want somebody that will just pay their bills. They don't want, and like I said, this is just me as a guy, and if there was a young lady that was here, she could say the same thing, but I'm just sharing with you all about me, so that way, in case this may have fit you, you can get the help that is needed. And so for us to be able to just be real, be transparent and say, you know what, God, I messed up. God, it ain't my mother, it ain't my father, it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, it's me. I need help. And so when it comes down to matters of the heart, yeah, God is concerned about your love life. God is concerned about everything pertaining to you. And for you to be able to acknowledge what you may have made some wrong choices in your life, ask God to forgive you, but also you go in the mirror and forgive yourself. Apologize to that person that's in your mirror. And not only apologize to that person that's in your mirror, but receive it. Receive that apology. And don't allow yourself to be abused over and over and over again. I'm not just talking about pertaining to being in a toxic or an abusive relationship. No, there are some people that they are in an abusive relationship with themselves. They allow themselves to be beat up because of the mistakes they made in the past or a bad choice they made in the past. They allow themselves to be beaten up because they feel so guilty. And to be honest with you, sometimes forgiveness is too easy for them. See, they cause pain and they feel like they have to receive some pain to validate the pain that they caused upon themselves. But God, forgive me. I'm not going to do it no more. That sounds too easy for them. But if you really sincere with your heart, you can say, God, forgive me. I'm not going to do it no more. God, help me and move on. God will help you to move on with the broken pieces or the other pieces of your life. So, no, you don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to allow yourself to be cussed out, fussed at, regardless if it's in the home or within the church. You don't have to get fussed at, cussed out every Sunday. Come on now. No. You have to understand who God is, and oftentimes we don't know who we are, and we don't know who God is. But when you don't know who God is, you won't understand who you are. But when you understand who God is, God will reveal to you who he is and who you are in him. Shoot. Don't you let anybody talk you down when God's trying to build you up. I want you to understand that you have to stop beating yourself up and start not just walking in love, but receive love. First of all, receive love from God and receive love from yourself and to yourself. And of course, yes, having healthy people around you that's going to help you, that's going to feed you. And so with that being said, I want to get ready to wrap this up. I want you to think about if there's any past mistakes you've made, forgive yourself. Release that and give it to God. God said in his word that healing is the children's bread. Yes, there's spiritual healing, but also there's emotional healing, mental healing, whatever healing that you need, all whatever you need, God got it. And that's one of the benefits of being a believer and for you to receive it. So I want you from this point on, this is the last day in a month of April. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be going into May. May you come forth and give your burdens over to God. May you come forth and cast all your cares upon him, for the one he loves you. He loves you. Now, my question is, he loves you. Do you love him? He loves you. Do you trust him? You have to trust God with your hurt. You have to trust God with your plans. You may not know it, but God knows. God knows everything. You don't. And so I want you to focus right now, and we're going to pray whatever is going on in your life. We pray that God help you at the area that you're in right now. God, we come to you right now, God. We're depending upon you right now, God. Come in and intervene right now in the name of Jesus. God, we yield ourselves over to you once and for all. God, forgive us of any mistakes we made, any bad choices we made. God, we ask you all to forgive us and cleanse us right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And we receive your forgiveness. God, we ask you right now, God, help us right now, God, to not pursue love, but to pursue you, God. Help us, God, to pursue you, God, to chase after you, not after men, not after women. Pursue your heart and seek your heart and pursue your heart, God. And as we pursue your heart, God, and be obedient to you, God, you will lead us to the people that you want for us, God. So, God, we ask you to help us, God, to recognize those that you have for us and those that you don't have for us right now in the name of Jesus. And we bind everything the devil stands for. We cancel the devil's assignment right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're speaking against every hurt, every retaliation spirit right now. God, we're speaking right now, God, for those who may have been in a toxic relationship, those who may have dealt with a divorce, a breakup, heal their broken heart right now in the name of Jesus. Heal their confused mind right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you to forgive right now, God. Not just you forgive us, God. Help us, God, to forgive ourselves and forgive those who may have hurt us, those who may have done us wrong. And so, God, we ask you to help us right now, God, to even be a better steward of our heart, of our time, and our mind right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for another chance, God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, God, to get in right relationship, not just with others, but most importantly with you right now, God, and with ourselves right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies coming from this. We thank you, Lord, for the healthy relationships coming from this. We thank you, Lord, for the courtships and the marriages coming from this right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. And we thank you, Lord, for the change right now, God, and for the deliverance right now and the victory right now in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. Tuning in, and I hope and pray that there was something that was said that fed you. And so just know that I'm going to be praying for you. And also thank y'all for listening. And like I said, I don't mind being transparent. And if my testimony helps somebody, then my living ain't in vain. The most important thing I want you to do, don't look at me. Look up to him. Because the same God that did it for me, he can do it for you. God is no respect to person. So don't feel like, well, that was just you. No. But my thing wills, I have to tell you, you have to want it. You have to fight for it. Yeah, the devil going to try to tempt you. The devil going to try to make you, you know, settle for less. The devil going to try to make you compromise. No, no, no. You got to have a standard. You got to have a standard. You have to make sure that you do your part and allow God to do the rest. So I thank y'all for tuning in, and thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I love y'all dearly. Praying for y'all, and like I said, thank you for your support throughout the time, throughout the years. And know this is only the beginning. There's nothing too hard for God. All things are possible through him. So you just keep looking forward to a new day, a new beginning. And know that you're one step closer to your breakthrough and your breakout. God bless you and good night.